Okay, this is Run Talk with Stephen Margo from In Training, and this is our seventh podcast. I hope you liked that song. It was And Then They Run by Raised Fist. We have our guest today is podiatrist and physio Doug James. How would you call that music? What's the...
Happy music, I guess.
Happy music, yeah, okay.
Or Swedish hardcore.
Swedish hardcore.
Do you actually listen to it while you're running?
Yeah, no, it's a really great motivator and keeps you running angry, probably.
So for the person who really has a hard time getting out there, that's something they could actually put on and listen to.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's a good way to increase your cadence by having a fast beat music, and this has certainly got that.
Well, yeah. It'd certainly make me get home pretty fast.
Your stride length, in order to keep up with the cadence, might have to be about 6 inches.
That's possible.
All right, well, our theme this week is prehab, but before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about the Twilight Race, which is on this weekend.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly it comes around every year, and we'd start the planning months in advance, and then suddenly we're here.
Yeah, we're almost really starting the planning as soon as the race is finished. You know, it's sort of looking at the next year, or even before the race has happened. We're looking at the following year.
So this is the ninth year, Steve?
Ninth year, yeah. So it's been a long time. And, you know, I think it's been a really innovative, great sort of race to have in the running community. It's certainly been very successful over the years. It's great that we've been able to keep it going for so long.
Yeah, it's a bit more of a challenge having it in the evening, which, most people are probably morning runners and used to their morning training. So it's quite different having to plan your day when you and to be able to run hard at a later time.
That's true. Although, you know, if you look at the circadian rhythms, generally people's performance is going to be better in the evening than it will be in the morning when they first wake up.
Why is that?
It's just, you know, if you look at things like testosterone level and, how aware and awake they are, most people, even if they are morning people, will actually perform better in the evening. And I guess the other advantage is, especially when we don't have daylight savings, is it's cooler in the evening.
Yeah, so. Yes, and this one is traditionally cool. So what tips would you give someone if they are racing in the evening, knowing... They're going to have to time when they eat and plan how they're going to fit in all the family or their just general activity during the day in advance.
Yeah, well, certainly I think the nutrition is the key thing. And, you know, you don't want to spend the morning cleaning the garage out and, you know.
Landscaping.
Landscaping, yeah, that's right. You do have to take it a bit easy that day in preparation. But you need to make sure you have a good lunch, so that it's all digested and ready by the time you're racing, and have other snacky things leading up to the race, so that you're not sort of starting it, because it starts maybe at dinner time that people might have, or you're running during dinner time, so you want to make sure that your nutrition's sort of topped up by the race.
And I think just even getting to the race a bit earlier than what you would in a morning race, just so that you can go to the toilet early enough or frequently, get your car park and just sort of get into the zone, I suppose, and ready for the run.
And that's certainly one of the advantages, is that you don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. to get to the race.
Well, certainly as race organisers, it's nice starting later in the morning, just the other end.
Yeah, we're there until after midnight, but but most runners aren't. So, I think there are advantages and disadvantages, and the thing is it's really good to try something different.
Yeah, and I think being able to have a race this early in the season, a half marathon or 10K, can kind of give you a benchmark to start off for the rest of the road racing season. And I think it's very easy, too, to get into the whole idea of just doing long run after long run after long run. So it's good to break that and do a 10K or a half marathon now, and then get back into a few long runs after that.
Yeah, so it gives you a benchmark at the beginning of the season, and then you're going to do most of your training over the next few months. And so it gives you a realistic target to aim for in the later ones. And I think the other thing is the other Twilight Race is at the other end of the season as well. So we have like the Twilight Bay Run at the...
September.
September, yeah. So that's after most of the major races have happened.
So it's a two-loop course. Have you got any tips that you'd give to our runners, our listeners, on how to actually run this course, knowing that there's a little hill, just a little hill in there, but mostly flat, yeah, and to manage two laps?
It is a pretty flat course. It's just the bridge, really, and getting up to the bridge on the other side. So the steepest hill is actually coming back over the bridge to get up to it. But then you have a really nice, long, gradual downhill all the way across the bridge from the other side. And it's a very gradual uphill going across from the uni side. So I think you have to take into consideration the fact that your pace will change on the bridge, but the effort should be trying to stay the same. And you can still pace the rest of the race pretty well similarly. And the bridge itself, the bridge in the hills, is less than a kilometer. So it's not like a major component of the lap, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And there's drink stations out on the course.
Yep. So we have schools and community groups that are putting on some big aid stations. We have one group this year that wants to bring 40 people to their aid station.
Wow. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah. So a lot of it is, you know, I think our aid stations are different from anybody else in that they're really fun and exciting, and the aid station groups are competing for a prize, so $1,000 prize for the best aid station. So they're really there trying to cheer people and get a bit of excitement happening.
Yeah, and then the participants in the fun runners get to vote, don't they,
yep,
on their favourite aid station, and that comes out after the race. There's a link.
Yeah, it's only the 10K and half marathon that get to vote for this event, because the 5Kers don't pass all of the aid stations.
And one of the great things I love about the Twilight races are the singlets.
Yeah, it's a really nice one this year. I actually like the women's one better than the men's.
Well, I'm sure you could get that. Go pink and purple for a change.
Yeah. But yeah, I think they're really distinctive. And we have a bigger range of merchandise this year as well. So we got hoodies and caps with lights built into them, and long-sleeve shirts, laces, so, and little running lights. So yeah, there's lots of different things that people can pick up either at the race or in the lead up to it.
So is it a good course for spectators?
I think so. There's always a lot of people outside their houses along the Corso doing barbecues and stuff while people run past, having their little deck chairs out. So that's quite nice. And at the uni itself, I think there's heaps of places along the course to cheer. So.
Yeah, I'm actually quite envious of all the runners that are there. I stand at the top of the stadium watching everybody coming in.
That's true, yeah.
And because it really is a different and unique time to be able to race.
Yeah, and it's great running down the finish line and onto the track.
Yeah,
you feel like you're at the Olympics or something.
Yeah, it's good. Well, hopefully everyone who's running can throw their arms up in the air as they're crossing the line, get a great Olympic-like photo.
That's true.
Yeah, well, we've got, Doug, who's our physio and podiatrist here at In Training, has also been working on this event for the last 9 years.
Mm-hmm. Course director of the race. So Doug and I are basically the two people in charge of the event more than anyone else, and making sure that things are safe and go well on the day.
So, Doug, what's your experience in organising, getting involved in the race, for races here, and what you found is to be an interesting part of event management?
Yeah, no, I guess it's something that started off as a course marshal one day, and then sort of bumped up through the ranks. I guess through necessity as much as a need for more experience in the area. But the being on the other side of the events, I mean, having run X number of marathons and half marathons, you really enjoy the event. But to be on the other side, seeing all the atmosphere and the excitement behind, it's great as well. Mm.
Yeah, it's a wonderful feeling when you see all these people finish and so excited and happy about what they've done, and you're milling around with them, and they don't really know that you're the race director or course director, but you hear all the great comments, and it's very satisfying. It's as satisfying as having a good race, even probably more so.
Oh yeah, just the connections that friends make, at that finish line moment when they've achieved their goal or crossed the line or they're exhausted. It really is very enjoyable to watch.
In a lot of ways, helping put on the race is a lot like running it. I mean, you've got months and months of training and getting ready for it, and then eventually on the day, it's such a big high that you know, when it's all over, you're thoroughly exhausted. But as long as everything's gone to plan or as close to as possible, you've had a successful day and it feels like you've won the race.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's probably how I feel too, I think. So Doug, maybe we should talk a little bit about you, because you've just had a baby.
Well, my wife's had one, but yes, right. I guess team effort.
And tell us a little bit about being a dad.
It's not something I'd ever thought too much about, but you know, I guess when you meet the right person, it's you know, becomes this next step and next chapter in your life, and it's brilliant. You know, this beautiful, gorgeous little girl, and yeah, she's been really good so far in the first month of her existence. Yeah, so looking forward to the next however many years we get to, you know, looking forward to the next chapters, I guess.
And you're adding to the in training community as well, so that's good to see.
It's a future runner there, hopefully.
And you actually met Justine at one of our runs as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that's it. It's you know, shared interest of running is a great way and a great foundation, as you two would know, for starting a relationship. So it only blossomed from there.
So can we talk a little bit about your running history? You've done the Rock and Roll Las Vegas Marathon. That would have been pretty exciting.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was about the third marathon I did, I think. So by that stage, I'd done Canberra and Gold Coast before then, which are great events. But yeah, it's a whole other level when you get over to Las Vegas. You know, they just put on a massive show, like Twilight. It's an evening run as well, so you're finishing on the strip. It's all lit up, and it's just a massive party. Yeah. A lot of fun. So I highly recommend that one if anyone ever gets a chance.
And then the other big one that you did was for your honeymoon. You went to New York to do the marathon.
Well, it's fitting. If you've both got a love of running, then why not celebrate with a honeymoon? Most people think we're crazy, but...
We were envious. Yeah.
when you're in the running world, you'd start to fit your holidays around the fun runs.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think when you've got something like New York Marathon and you know, coinciding with the time that you're getting married, or one or the other way around, it was just a great way to cap it all off.
So Doug, you actually started with us as a podiatry scholarship student.
That's right, yeah, back in 2005.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Mm.
Is that 12 years now? So you'd done business previous to doing podiatry, but then...
Yep, so professional student and working in a buying role in Rebel Sport head office down in Sydney, but had enough of that. So sort of the progression from there is, you know, from sports footwear to get into podiatry, and you know, certainly haven't looked back since. And being able to work with you guys here in the clinic while being a student has been a fantastic option to sort of try and build those skills, I guess.
And then it wasn't enough just to be a podiatrist. You decided you had to go and do physio as well. So
look, I still had a little bit of money left on my hex debt, so decided to go for broke. And adding physio to podiatry seemed to be a pretty good combination. And certainly in a running setting, the two work quite well.
So what's different between what you do as a podiatrist and a physio? I guess, you know, you're treating patients as both, really, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not like you take off one hat and put on the other. You sort of share the thought process across both. But, you know, here at In Training, you know, all the podiatrists almost, you know, act like physios in a way, because we're sort of very, very holistic in our approach in terms of, you know, be it footwear or whether it's a soft tissue injury. A lot of podiatrists traditionally don't deal much with soft tissue injuries or anything above the ankle. So, you know, if you come to In Training, you know that any of the podiatrists are going to give you a good, a decent assessment. But where physio comes in, I guess there's a little bit more strength and conditioning, which is what we do a lot of focus through here, whether it's through running drills, Pilates, or some core strength that certainly helps a lot.
So that probably moves us on to our theme this week, which is prehab. So, Margaret, do you want to explain what prehab is?
Well, I guess when we think about what we do as in our running life, we pretty much everybody will just step out the door, strap their shoes on, and go out for the run. They might do a few stretches beforehand, or they might stretch after. But the prehab is sort of what you're doing outside of the running time to give you a bit more strength.
Yeah, I think it's almost in preparation for when you encounter problems. So traditionally, prehab has been surgical, where you do all your exercises before you do the surgery so that then you know how to do them when you've had the surgery. And it's not a learning curve after the surgery. But that could be true of any injury, because running and injuries sort of have gone close
They're
together.
Quite synonymous, aren't they? Yeah. About a 60 to 80% risk of you getting an injury if you run in a year. So it certainly makes sense to try and get a bit stronger. The other part of prehab is, from a surgical point of view, if you go in strong before the surgery, you come out much faster and you recover a lot better on the other side. Mm-hmm. So similar idea with the prehab in running injuries. If you're using it, well, certainly it's got a preventative role. So if you can get you strong enough in particular key areas, you're much less likely to have, say, knee or hip or leg injuries. So there's the preventative side of things, but if you do happen to pick it up, generally I find that the recovery time would be much less, because you've already got some of the baseline strength rather than having to try and teach you to reuse muscles that you've probably never really used in your running.
Yeah, and I also think that when you are actually injured, it's actually hard to do a lot of those strength exercises, just because you're weaker in that moment. So if you can actually get them and learn how to do them properly beforehand, then there's it's a lot easier to do it during that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is certainly a value in getting stronger. So not just preventative, but learning how to sort of come out the other side in a timely manner.
So if we look at I guess what modalities prehab encompasses, it's a lot of what we do. So we have our running form workshops that we do a few times a year. And that's certainly a component of it, is learning how to do the drills, because when you get injured, your gait will change. You have compensatory gait, you've got a new movement pattern in your brain. So if you know how to do these drills, you can get back to the correct movement pattern much quicker. Doug, a lot of what you do with the Pilates studio is really developing that strength, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of us think about, you know, what strength you need for running, you'll focus on maybe your calf strength or how strong your hamstrings are. But a lot of it's got to do with your torso, how strong your glutes and your hips are. And there's a lot of scientific studies to support that you're much less likely to have leg and knee injuries if you're strong through your hips. So there's a big focus on that through Pilates and core stability. Also looking with the with stretching as well, so we incorporate that a little bit into Pilates, but most runners are pretty guilty of not doing nearly enough stretching. It's not until something goes wrong that we sort of use that as a last resort to try and fix it.
And what do you think about actual doing weight training, so going to the gym and doing weights?
There's certainly a place for it. I mean, you don't want to go in there and become the Incredible Hulk, because it's only going to slow you down. But there's certainly some role that it could have if you enjoy the weights, and certainly factor it in. But for most of us, we enjoy running outdoors. You've got the fresh air, and in Brisbane, you've got beautiful weather, 300 days of the year. So if you can do some body weight stuff, combine it in the outdoors, that's probably makes it just as effective.
So I guess the other thing, Doug, is that it's about being specific to whatever sport that you're training for, so like a functional prehab?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a front row football player, you don't really want to be lean and quick like a marathon runner, and the opposite's true of marathon runners. If you're too bulky and too heavy, you're going to be using the wrong sort of muscles and the wrong sort of muscle fiber types. So with sport specific, most of the runners that are probably listening to this are going to be looking to do sort of longer distance stuff. So you really want your slow twitch fibers to be most efficient. If you do too much explosive training, be it, three lots of five squats, you're really more training your fast twitch fibers. So sport specific makes it a lot more appropriate.
And there's different demographics of people needing strength training and prehab. So if you look at the master athlete, there's been research. Peter Raybone had done a lot of research on strength training for the master athlete and the benefits of that. And then you look at kids. I think they're moving through all their growing stages and phases. Then there is definitely opportunity to give them a bit more strength as they change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, after the age of, say, 40, your muscle strength and your muscle composition starts to deteriorate. So it's really a fight just to try and maintain that as much as possible. And then the flip side of the coin, young kids, they probably need to put on a little bit more strength, particularly with a lot of kids these days having excessive amounts of flexibility. And the studies are showing that if they become stronger, generally they become a little bit less flexible, which is not necessarily a bad thing because it gives them better control, better strength, and then they're much less likely to become injured.
So I guess there's really an optimum amount of flexibility and strength and balance of strength dependent on the sport that you're doing.
Absolutely.
So if you're kicking a ball, it's going to be different from if you're running, for instance.
Definitely. And the good news for most of us is that with running, you don't need a huge amount of flexibility. But certainly in key areas, be it through your hip flexors and your hamstrings are probably the more important ones. And relative strength through your core is crucial.
I often sort of discuss the type of person that gets the most injuries when they run. It tends to be the person that has the most rigid foot structure that's going to get the most problems. Whereas in the past, it was always considered that if you pronate way too much, well, that's going to give you injuries. But there's actually not as much evidence for that. But certainly at the other end, people who did gymnastics or dancing or martial arts, they've got this big range of motion, and running is a smaller range of motion. It's very hard to control this small range of motion within their large range of motion.
Yeah, look, that's true, and I also find swimmers are probably lumped into that category as well. They tend not to utilize their glutes particularly well, and often end up with some pretty nasty glute and hip injuries, and eventually probably knee injuries as well. So yeah, look, again, with sport specific training, if you're coming from those backgrounds of gymnastics or things where you don't do a lot of running, then probably doing some of the running drills or some specific strengthening is really a good thing to have to do to get you ready.
So when would you recommend people include their prehab exercise, or is it a particular phase in the training that they would do it, or is it just a regular activity in the week?
Ideally, if you're getting back into running or just starting for the first time, it's probably the best time because you're going to be trying to reduce your future risk of injuries. But ideally, there should be a little bit done by everybody all the time. The risk is that if you overdo it with your training, you're going to end up injured, and it's going to sort of set back how much fitness and how much ability you have. So if you invest that small amount of time now, you're going to be much better off in the week before your marathon.
So we've got those running form workshops, which I mentioned. You also do regular Pilates classes.
Yeah, that's right. We've got 4 sessions a week, and we certainly try to tailor it to whoever's in the group, which is usually some runners. So we focus on a few drills there, which really help.
So to find out about the Pilates classes, people can go to the InTraining website and see when they're on.
Sign up online.
Or call up our clinic, 3367-3088. And I guess the other thing is they can actually book in for a one-on-one with you as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, an assessment of your core strength, your weaknesses and strengths, and even running through your running technique, as any of the clinicians here can do. So certainly worth getting checked out if you do have any issues or just want to prevent issues in future.
Yeah, it's actually it's I think quite rewarding when you work with someone who has does need a lot more strength. And I just remember working with a young lad who was about, I think he was 12, hockey player, and he hated running. He would hop on his bike to go down to the shop. And I'm just doing some strength training with him, and involved a lot of sort of outdoor activities, form work. I just remember running with him one day in the warm-up, and suddenly he looked at me and said, "I've just run a kilometre." and with this great big grin on his face, as if, it was really such an achievement, and he could actually see the benefits. And the parents will often comment that their kids are lasting on the fields a lot better once they've done a little bit more of their form work and running with them.
Yeah. And a lot of things I look at is their ability to accelerate as well, because when they're hypermobile, they push against the ground, but their foot's sort of collapsing under them. So it's much harder to sort of get that acceleration and power. And if they get that control, then it's much easier to do it.
Well, there's definitely a place for it.
Yep. So we'll maybe have a talk about what's on this week. if you're interested in stretching and strengthening, then our next workshop is on Wednesday this week.
It's part of the Marathon School program.
And, well, Doug, what's the topic? I think it's stretching and strengthening.
Yeah, exactly. So basically how to go through everything that we've been doing. So trying to get the body ready for running season, how to recover from the races. We covered some things like how to release trigger points, so foam rollers, spiky balls, all those lovely things.
So it's a practical session. Don't wear a dress.
Yeah, that's right.
There will be a bit of that.
So yeah, if you're not a part of the Marathon School, you can still come along to the seminar. You just have to pay $10 for it.
But I guess another strength session, and I know we've spoken about this week after week lately, is running cross country.
Yeah.
So with the season having started, Queensland Running have their event Sandgate this time, mm-hmm. and it's just I cannot recommend how good it is to be running on an uneven surface. And it doesn't have to be really uneven, but just in developing strength within the tendons and soft tissue.
Yeah, I think the problem with running is it's the same movement over and over, and particularly when you're training for something like Gold Coast, it's a flat course, so you need to do most of your running a similar type of surface. But if you can add a component of this cross training where it's cross-country running and you're running on grass and over some hills, and it just develops a little bit of strength outside that limited range of motion that you're doing.
Mm. Probably reduces your risk of repetitive overuse injury as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the cross-country races are a good alternative to parkrun because we're so parkrun focused at the moment.
Yeah,
it's hard to break that that mental Saturday morning run that you have to do, but it really is highly recommended to do the Saturday afternoon cross-country events. And you can take your families along to it too, which is a lot of fun.
And I guess the other advantage of cross-country is that you don't have to run 5K every time.
No.
So you can do 1K, 2K, 3K, 4K, 6K,
One of our 8K. Runners has goes along and he runs just about every single race that's there. It's just part of his training.
That's not what I would recommend. But yeah.
Oh, but they, yeah, even the kids will run a couple of different ones.
Yeah.
But that's the day before Twilight. So if you are running Twilight, we wish you all the best and look forward to seeing you out there running. If you haven't entered yet, it's not too late. You can still enter. Just hop onto the Twilight Running Festival website and you know, pick your 10 or your half. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm really pushing my runners to run with a no watch.
Yeah.
Really get the feel of running and not be so dependent on that GPS.
I think they call it naked running when you run without a watch.
I don't know.
But next weekend, the in-training club will be organising a cross-country at Sherwood Forest Park. So if you haven't ever done a cross-country, this is a great one to turn up to. We're doing it with Queensland Athletics.
Yeah, and I think one of the school districts over that way has used this in the past as one of their races, so it's a perfect opportunity for the kids in those school areas to come and have a race over a course they could be doing for districts.
So next week we're going to be discussing kids running, and we're going to have some kids along to help us with that one as our guests, and we'll have a bit of a talk about growth-related injuries in children as well.
Yeah, it's such a prevalent issue.
So if you do have any questions about running, you can email footman@intraining.com.au and we'll bring it up at the podcast. Or if you have an idea of what you would like us to cover in one of the future podcasts, it'd be great to know.
Yeah, and of course, if you've enjoyed the podcast, share it with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, the more people that we can get some running info to, the better. And Doug, thanks so much for coming and chatting with us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It's very exciting to see you embark on your new journey as a dad.
And here's Doug's fave song, Raise Fist and Then They Run. Oops.
It's got to play.
Well, I've got it on here. That's it. Ah, that's it! Ah!